with Sunday school, but, and I think we're going to just first, I think we're going to do it anyway. I want to go to the book of Luke in chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And I've never done this before, but I'm going to do it here this morning. Luke chapter 5, and I think we'll start in we'll start in verse 16, I guess, and we'll read down through verse 20, and then I'll tell you why. But this is the first thing I thought of this morning. And I'm sure that's happened to all of us from time to time. You wake up in the morning and a verse is on your mind, a passage is on your mind, scripture is on your mind. And that was on my mind as soon as my eyes opened this morning. If we start in Luke chapter 5, and we'll pray here in a minute. But it says, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and in Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find but what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, not just the man that was on the couch or the bed, but when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, now he's talking singular, so he's talking to the man in the bed, thy sins are forgiven thee. I woke up this morning thinking of that. And we're going to take time here this morning. Before I'm going to talk about the hope that is within us. That's our Sunday school. And I don't mean to be taking time away from that, but I think of Brother Corey this morning. And I think of Brother Joe Matichera. And I'm not trying to leave anybody out, because I know there's been a lot of sickness going on. But when I think of Brother Corey, we need to take him before the Lord. You see, right there, this man had an issue, but he had four friends that weren't forced to do anything they wanted to, right? So I'm going to be one on the corner of this bed. I'm looking for three volunteers, and we're going to pray here this morning. The four people are going to pray for healing for Brother Corey and Brother Joe. It says, if we, right here, and when he saw their faith, I want four people who will pray in faith that Jesus Christ will heal Corey and Brother Joe. When he saw their faith, then he said, man, he's talking to the singular. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, we know Corey and Brother Joe are saved. But Jesus healed everybody that came to him for physical needs and spiritual needs. So, do I have three other people, men or young men in here this morning, that would be willing to pray for Brother Corey and Brother Joe here before we get started with Sunday school? I will be one. I'll be on one corner. Do I have three others? There's one, two, one more. There's three, so we have four. So, Pastor, if you'd lead us off, Brother Jesse, if you'd go next, Brother Jim, and I will close.
Bring him before you and ask these four their friend to you. Lord, we ask that you place your healing hand on him and strengthen him. We know that our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Father, we know that you're the one who designed all these systems, and you can easily fix them. I pray that you would do that for Brother Ford today. We pray for Brother Matichera, Lord, that you would help him. Lord, we thank you for his years serving you. We know that he wants to continue to serve you. He needs your healing hand and your touch upon his life. Father, we bring these two before you today, asking that you would do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask for. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Lord, we thank you this day. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your salvation and for giving us an eternal inheritance as your child. Lord, you bring the glory before you this morning. Lord, did you ask that you would heal him? Lord, you are the great physician. You're the only one. Heal him this day, Lord. Show us your power. Lord, we believe in your power. We believe that you wish to heal him. Lord, we are asking today that you would. I just ask that you would bless him, bless him, Lord, give him strength today. Help him to get through this trial and encourage him. Give him faith. Will heal him. I do pray for Brother Matias and you bless him, Lord, with his different physical needs. I ask that you work a miracle of the doctors that you need amazed. That they would scratch their heads and wonder, Lord, and they would say, Lord, what did you do? And I ask that you give Brother Matias opportunities to witness through his trials. Lord, thank you for these trials that you bring into our lives that draw us closer to you. Give us opportunities to witness to others, to show people what you are to us, show people the power of God. But that's what we're asking today, that you would show us your power and where we believe in you. And I just ask this in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We believe in you. Father, help thou our unbelief. Father, we don't understand things sometimes. All we can do is come before you and plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you made these bodies very complex. Even the smartest in the world can't understand what you've created in our physical bodies. And Father, understanding that, we understand that there are some things only you can heal. And Father, we ask that you would work now in Corey's life. Father, do something that we know the doctors have not been able to do. Father, we pray for him that he would get his physical strength back, his well-being, so he can raise a family, support a family. And Father, just do your will for his life. We do pray for Brother Joel and the needs there in the physical area of his life, that you would give health and strength, give healing. Father, be with his family also. And Father, we just, once again, we believe, help our unbelief. Father, we know that you're able to. We see in Scripture these four men taking this one down through the roof of a building, and you heal it. And Father, we do ask that you would heal these. the others, Father, that are not feeling well, that have physical needs. There's many of them. We ask that you would intervene in their lives. And Father, once again, work in our lives. Draw us closer to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. And you are the Creator.
You've created the heavens and the earth. You have created us, Father. You know everything about each one of us. Here this morning, Father, we want to bring Brother Corey before you. We want to lay him at your feet, Father. We don't look to man for the healing that he needs. We're looking to place him at your care, in your care, Father. We know that you can heal him. We have faith in you. Father, nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is impossible for you. I pray, Father, that you would give Corey healing, that you would heal his body, that he would be able to provide for his family, as I know his heart's desire is, Father. We know there's a purpose for all things, Father. I just ask that through the healing that you're going to give him, that you would be glorified. Father, not only during this time, but for generations to come, for what you're going to do for him. May it be spoken about. May you be spoken about for years to come, Father. Father, I just ask that you be with his family members, Susie and the children. I ask that you be with his mom and dad and brothers and sisters, and just give them all comfort and peace at this time, Father. And I pray that you encourage Corey's heart as he looks forward to what you're going to do for him. We also pray for Brother Joe. We thank you for his many years of faithful service to you. We think of the trials that he's been going through lately with his physical health, Father. And he still steadfastly looks to you. We thank you for him, and we ask that you would heal his body. Father, lift him up and encourage him. Be with his wife and his family. Encourage them. Give Brother Corey and Brother Joe grace at this time, Father. Your grace is sufficient. And I just ask that through these trials in their lives, that you would be lifted up and glorified. And we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, this morning for Sunday school, now that we're halfway through, I want to talk about the hope that is within us. You know what? This week I'm thinking about Brother Frank over here, and I'm thinking about Brother Corey, and I'm thinking about Sister Leah and Sister Evella and all these people. I think of Sister Carol and Sister Sandy. They haven't been feeling well lately, and Sister Nancy over here. Boy, I tell you, there's been a lot of people that are struggling with some health issues. Mulder's back there, same situation. And I got to thinking about that this week, and I was thinking, how do we get through those tough times? I'll tell you why. It's because of the hope that is within us. It's because of that hope that is within us. And you know, when we struggle to make it through, sometimes we struggle and get discouraged to make it through the tough times. It's because we forget about that hope that's been placed within us at the moment of salvation. It's not something that we earn or work for or work towards. It's automatically given when we accept Christ. Hope. To expect with confidence, to trust in, wait for, or to look for. To expect with confidence. Let's see here. Where do I want to start? Boy, I've been going at this all week long. I got notes all over the place. What do you say we... to start out with a verse here, I want to read Jeremiah 17:7, then we'll go to the Lord. Jeremiah 17:7, we'll start with that one. So many verses in Scripture about hope, the hope that we have. Jeremiah 17:7, you know, and this hope that we have, the world doesn't have. They do not have this hope. They have a hope-so hope. We have a no-so hope. Big difference. And we only have that no-so hope. I mean, we know these things are going to happen. We only have them because of Jesus Christ. We only have that hope because of Jesus Christ. Right here in Jeremiah 17:7, it says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, Father. We just thank you for this hope that you've placed within us. We thank you for the certainty of your word, the certainty of your promises. Father, those are the things we hope in. We hope in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and in your word. Father, I just ask that you bless this Sunday school time here this morning. Encourage hearts through it. Give us attentive ears, open hearts. Father, I pray that everything said and done will bring honor and glory to your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Instead of wishing or hoping for something to happen, a believer knows that their hope is solid, concrete evidence. Yeah, evidence. We're going to get to Hebrews 11:1 here pretty quick. Evidence. Because it is grounded in the Word of God. It's grounded in the Word of God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. This hope we have isn't a fading hope. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. It's a steadfast hope. 18 and 19, it says right here, that by two immutable, that means unchangeable, two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Remember, we're talking about our hope is grounded in the Word of God, and it's grounded in the Word of God because it's impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. And in verse 19, it says, which hope we have as an anchor. Now, that's an interesting word, anchor. I'll talk about that in a minute. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. You know that, have you ever put the word hope and anchor together at the same time? When you, our hope is fixed on Christ and his word. It's like throwing an anchor out and grabbing hold, right? Well, when you throw an anchor out of a boat, now, we don't see Christ, right? We don't physically see him, but our hope is in him. Well, when you throw an anchor out of a boat, do you ever see what it grabs onto? No. You just have faith it's going to grab onto something down there in the water and stop you, keep you from drifting. It's interesting that the author uses that word anchor there. We have a hope, which hope we have as an anchor. That's interesting. Let's go to Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Now, I'm really going to have to hurry because I'm short on time now. But Hebrews 23:19. You know, and pray for the nursing homes, because if this works out here today, this little Sunday school lesson, maybe I'll use it on them. I'm practicing on you folks. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man. Remember, our hope is grounded in the Word of God, right? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Our hope is grounded in the Word of God. And if we're not in the Word of God, we don't even have hope, because it's grounded in the Word of God. You know, when physical problems come our way, and it can be discouraging, we need to run to the Word of God and renew that hope that is within us. It just makes us remember that time here is short, it's fleeting, and it's going to be gone like that. And then we're not going to need our faith. Faith and hope are also interchangeable words there. And then our faith, we don't no longer need faith for the things we're hoping in, because we're going to be with him. And that should encourage us in those difficult times. like I said, the Christian hope is not a hope-so hope. It's a no-so hope. Do we have that hope throughout our day? Is Jesus your hope when trials come? I mean, is he your hope when, you know, I think of Brother Corey and Brother Joe this morning. When their trials, they're in the midst of their trials, is Jesus their hope? I pray that it is. Everyone that knows Christ as their Savior has this hope within us. You know, let's just go to 1 Peter 1:3. And like I said before, it's not something that we can attain to. It's not something we have to work for. 1 Peter 1:3, and it says right here, that's why I like Spence doing these verses, because he's there before I can turn to him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, that's a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are given this hope. We are given this hope when we accept Christ as our Savior. This lively hope, which is the living hope, that only comes through Christ, this living hope is what keeps us going at all times, even when things seem out of control, even when this coronavirus seems out of control, even when our physical health is spiraling downwards, even when this election seems to be fraudulent all over the place. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is a sure, steadfast hope. Anything in this world is not sure. Everything in this world is not steadfast. It's chaotic, is what it is. There's no chaos with Christ. None. Let's go to Colossians 1:5. Let's take a look at that. Colossians 1:5 says right here, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the word of God. And our hope is laid up for each one of us in heaven. That should encourage us through the tough times. We're all going to face tough times, trials, circumstances in our lives that are going to discourage us. Let's go back to 1 Peter. I didn't read verse 4 on purpose, but we'll read it right now. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 this time. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. We'll read 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In verse 4 it says, to an inheritance, this is our hope here, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for each one of you, for each one of us. It's reserved. It's already fixed. It's a done deal when we accept Christ as our Savior. If all those people in the world today that don't know Christ as their Savior, it's not reserved. They have a reservation, but it's not in heaven. And it's up to them if they want to change that reservation. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. John 14, 1 through 3. Okay, we're going to have to really hurry. John 14, 1 through 3. This is what's reserved right here. Let not your heart be troubled. That's what we're talking about here. The hope that we have keeps us from discouraging times. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And in verse 3 it says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. There's our hope. And receive you unto myself. That's our hope. That where I am, there ye may be also. And our hope's also that mansion. But most of all, it's right there. I will come again and receive you unto myself. There's our hope. That's what should get us through the tough times. In tough times, just because I'm standing up here right now and I'm saying, okay, I'm not going through a tough time right now. Oh, well, just wait. They'll come. It comes to all of us. But I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's our hope. That's what we're anchored to, right there. And for the lack of time, boy, bear with me. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and I want to read 11 through 15. Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly." We should do that because of the hope that's within us in this present world. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, right there, we're talking about how we should live our lives. So let's go right now, for the sake of time, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. And I got to find it on my notes here. Hebrews chapter 1. Here it is. Okay, Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to read. Do I need to turn there? Okay. Hebrews chapter, oh, I'm there. All right. We're going to go to verse 11, or chapter 11, verse 1. That's what I meant. Sorry, Spence. Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith, I told you, faith and hope are interchangeable. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know, for the longest time, back when after I got saved, I'd read that verse, and now faith is the substance. I always tried to think of what the substance is, but I didn't read the verse because it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. Do we show evidence in our lives? Do we show evidence of things not seen? Do we show evidence of the hope that is within us? Do we show that evidence? It says right here, the evidence of things not seen. Our job is to show evidence of what our hope is, of the hope that's within us. Our job is to show a lost and dying world the evidence of that hope. The evidence of that hope. That's our job. You know, the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we handle hard times, the way we handle the trials that come our way, our whole manner of life, our conduct, do we show evidence of that living hope that is within us? Is there evidence in our lives of things that our hope is in that's not seen? Is there evidence? You know, this is what, the middle of December or so. We're going to be getting together with family and friends, right, around Christmas time. At that time, will they see any evidence of the hope that has been given each one of us? Or is it just going to be another family get-together? Evidence. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians 5:8. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. This verse is kind of interesting. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says, "But let us who are of the day..." Well, wait a minute. Do I want to start, Nate? Let's back up. Let's start in verse 4. It says right here, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are of the children of light." That's us. And the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. In verse 8 it says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. You know, that's kind of interesting right there. Paul uses the word helmet. He calls the helmet the hope of salvation. Why does Paul say to put on a helmet? He says the helmet is the hope of our salvation because that is where Satan tries to attack us the most, is in our mind and our thoughts. In our mind and our thoughts. Are we reminded of the hope that is placed within us? And do we take that as a helmet when we go through our daily lives? So that hope that has been placed within us, that hope we have in Christ, and that hope we have grounded in the Word of God, will protect us when Satan wants to discourage us. Or do we just leave it off when we go through our day? And then discouragement does come. We are reminded of the hope that we have through the Scriptures in Romans 15:4. It says right here, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We're never gonna keep from getting discouraged or down if we're not in the Word of God. Our hope, our faith, they go together, and it doesn't work apart from the Word of God. They go together. They have to work together. I guess we only got a couple minutes here, and I just wrote down a few things. What's our hope? I just wrote down here, what's our hope? That Jesus will come again for each one of us. Is that our hope? We go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 real quick. It should be 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's our hope. There's our hope. Is our hope a mansion? Well, we've already read that. In John 14, verse 2, our hope is the day that God makes everything all right. He makes all the wrongs right. And he wipes away all the... Let's go to Revelations 21, 4. We have so many things that we hope for that we know with certainty are going to happen because they're grounded in the Word of God. Just a minute, buddy. 21, 4, and it says, remember this when trials come, when discouragement sets in. Remember here, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There's our hope. There's our hope. Let's go to Isaiah 25, 8 and 9. Isaiah 25, 8 and 9. It says right here, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. That's our hope. Our hope is the day we see him face to face, and we could go to some verses there. Our hope is dwelling in righteousness. Let's just close with that one. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? 12 and 13. Maybe I wrote down the wrong verse there, but I probably did. 1 second. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's our hope right there. We have so many things that we're hoping in as a child of God's. Our faith in Christ, you know, we're hoping in Jesus Christ. And let me read that again to you, what I wrote down. I don't need the paperwork. Our hope isn't a hope-so type of hope like the world has. That is useless. It does no good whatsoever. Our hope is a no-so. We know these things are going to happen. We're hoping in them because we know they're going to happen according to the Word of God. God cannot lie. His promises are sure. That is our hope. But when tough times come and trials come, and they do come to every one of us, do we think about the hope that has been given to us when we accepted Christ as our Savior? I just wanted to encourage people in here today that every one of us have this hope within us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior. But do we rely on it? Do we think about it when the tough times come? It's there for us. He's there for us. He can do all things. He cannot lie. And that's our hope. Our hope is to be with him and to see him face to face someday. We know for a certainty that's going to happen. So all this stuff is temporary. It will pass. And one of these days we'll be with him forevermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. And I just pray, Father, that you would help these people understand this lesson and just remove me out of the picture, Father. Just use your words that were read here today and work in hearts of the people here, Father, and help us to realize that you have given us this hope. It's because of you we have this hope, Father. I thank you for it. I just thank you for your word and the promises that are in your word and how we can know for sure they're going to pass. We hope in those, Father, and we know for certainty that they will happen. And we just thank you for that, and Father, we thank you for your goodness to us and just ask that you bless the remainder of this day, bless the preaching that's about to come and speak to our hearts, Father. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.